This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. After 25 years on the radio, we got to thinking that it was time to branch out just a little bit. So we put together a live stage show that we're going to be taking around the country this summer and fall, talking about some of the numbers that seem to be so much at the heart of business and economic journalism. We call it How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Numbers.
You see them every day.
What is GDP?
Gosh, I don't know.
It's inflation. What is it?
What does credit mean to you?
Numbers are fundamentally utilitarian. They tell us about the economic world around us. That applies for the whole economic world and our own little slices of it, too, because not only are there big systemic numbers like jobs and GDP, there are smaller but no less important numbers as well. And one of the most basic, you might actually call it one of the building blocks of the consumer economy, is our credit score. You've got one. I've got one. And so does Marketplace's Adrian Hill. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Kai.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here.
I'm ready.
I want to know your credit score.
No. Because, no way.
Why? Come on.
Absolutely
it's just a number.
Absolutely no
it's
way.
It's just a number.
Giving up my credit score, Kai, would tell you way, way too much about me. You'd probably be all judgy if I came in low, right?
Would not.
You'd be like, what's she been doing? And if I came in high, you'd be like, huh,
that's
work.
Pretty impressive.
Good work. You know, the power of the credit score is amazing. Here's John Altshuler, a credit expert from CreditSesame.com.
It's not overblown to call the credit score one of the most important financial metrics that we now live with.
Apparently, people are even using credit scores to decide who to date. There's a dating website that promises to hook you up based on your number. And 800 to 850, that's marriage potential there. So me and my credit score, we are going to stay very private.
All right, I get it. No number. But how did it come to pass and why did it come to pass that we let this one number have so much control over our lives?
It's a good question. And to answer it, let's go back to the 1960s. I refuse
to let you go. Here we are, 1960s. Dude, man, whoa, what?
Exactly right, Guy. And you, in this scenario, are a banker.
Okay.
These two lovely people.
Hi, my name is Claudette, and I make $35,000 a year.
Hi, I'm Steve, and I make $35,000 a year.
They're looking for a loan.
Okay.
You've got money for one of them, so choose.
I want to see their credit scores.
You can't. There are no FICO scores yet. So, yeah, you got to choose without it.
How do I do that? I don't know how to do that.
So here's John again to give you some tips.
You almost always did business with a banker who was a friend of the family or someone with whom you golfed or someone with whom you your parents worked or you went to the church with or in the Rotary Club with. And you would just sit down and discuss your needs, and they would make a decision based largely on a gut feel, if you will.
I am not picking. I want to go back to today. Can we do that? I'm just not going to pick.
Fine. We'll go back to today. So banking that way was pretty subjective in a way that left a lot of people out of the credit market based on gender, race, nationality, whether or not they were married. There were far less sophisticated credit reports that included information you could get from calling around and newspapers. And we're talking about things like drinking habits and personal cleanliness here. So the Fair Credit Reporting Act was passed in the 70s, and the FICO credit score that we all have today came along in the 1980s.
So what's the deal? I mean, yes, this is all better than me just winging it and going with my gut or a file of newspaper clippings, but we basically just learned to love this number? No?
We might want to cool our judge a bit.
That's scary music.
You know, it's easy to fall in love with these numbers, to trust them. And a FICO credit score is better than our gut. It's standardized. The rules are set. But it's not perfect. For one, the FICO credit score doesn't include your salary, your employment history, whether or not you pay child support, whether or not you're in credit counseling. Here's Chi-Chi Wu. She's an attorney at the National Consumer Law Center. She calls credit scores a blunt instrument, especially considering we've just come through the financial crisis.
There were a lot of consumers who lost their jobs, and because they lost their jobs, they couldn't keep up with their bills. And they've had damaged credit records.
And a lot of those people are not the same kind of credit risk once they're back at work than the people who are just not paying their bills, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's Wu's point. These scores just don't distinguish.
So how are you going to fix that? That doesn't seem fair.
Well, you can ask lenders to take those kind of extenuating circumstances more seriously. Also, Wu thinks credit scores probably don't need to look back as long as they do. Right now, negative information sticks to a report for 7 years.
I'm confused then, Adrian. What do I do? Do I love this number? Do I hate this number? What do I do?
You know, Kai, that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you who and what to love, but go in eyes open. Numbers can seem clean, perfect, less judgy, like they tell us everything we need to know, but they don't. They aren't. You got to understand them in context and then decide how much power and love to give them.
Right.
Before we go, yeah. What's your credit score?
I'm so not telling you. I'm
Come
not
on.
Telling. Adrienne Hill. Thank you very much, Adrienne.
You're welcome.
I'm still not telling. Two things before we go on. One, our live show tour dates for the rest of the year are on our website. It is, of course, marketplace.org. And number two, while you're there, check out our guest blogger and weekly rapper John Carney talking about his favorite number. It's a post called The Day the Market Broke.